I have this pair of shoes that I wore all the way through. There are these sparkly glitter flats, and I wore them to the point, you know, where you can like feel the pavement underneath because there's a hole in the sole, where your foot starts to like hang out the side of your instep. Wore them all the way through. And recently I was looking for a pair of them, and I found some in the UK, and they shipped me two pairs, and the first pair was the wrong size, and the second pair came as two left feet. And I instantly just started laughing hysterically when I opened the box. Now, I know that this is not very Nazarene of me, but I was in ballroom dancing. Took ballroom dancing as a teenager, spent time dancing. I did pretty good with the waltz. I could make do with the tango. I was great at salsa. And then we came to swing dancing. We came to jazz. And I had absolutely two left feet. The instructor even stopped and was like, what happened? Like, you can do all the other things. What happened here? And I said, I literally responded, I don't know. I'm Nazarene. And we had a good laugh about it. And I practiced. And I put all this energy and effort in. And my dance partner, I stepped on his toes every single time. And I have to tell you that at the end of all that practicing, I became the world's most okayest swing dancer. And as I've been thinking about this week, this package with two left feet and talking about Sabbath and the ways in which we come to Sabbath, I've been thinking about how Sabbath is a lot more like jazz and dancing. Sabbath is something we can come to with two left feet. Oftentimes we see improvisation that needs to happen in our Sabbath. There's order that feels like chaos and chaos that is quite ordered, and that is how I think of jazz. And it takes time to find your groove. But when you find it, you can grow into it, even if you have two left feet. Too often when we practice Sabbath, we're expecting ourselves to execute this perfect combo of calm and discipline, thinking that that is all that Sabbath is. We try to achieve Sabbath. We try to have such rigid rules that it sucks all the joy out of the process that's supposed to be restorative. Like dancing, practices are about being present and not about perfection, bearing witness to the goodness of God by experiencing it, because Father, Son, and Holy Spirit exist in a relationship of presence, beholding to one another in a knot of safety and vulnerability, this paraclete or the perichoretic dance. It's the source of life and life more abundantly, and it's the dance that we are invited to participate in. Two left feet, tired, worn shoes, and all. Our scripture today is from Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. One Sabbath, as Jesus was going through the wheat fields, his disciples were picking the heads of wheat, rubbing them in their hands and eating them. Some Pharisees said, "Why are you breaking the Sabbath law?" Jesus replied, "Haven't you read what David and his companions did when they were hungry? He broke the law by going into God's house and eating the bread of the presence, which only the priests can eat. He also gave some of the bread to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The human one is the Lord of the Sabbath.'" On another Sabbath, Jesus entered a synagogue to teach. A man was there whose right hand was withered. The legal experts and the Pharisees were watching him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. They were looking for a reason to bring charges against him. Jesus knew their thoughts, so he said to the man with the withered hand, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." He got up and stood there. Jesus said to the legal experts and the Pharisees, "Here's a question for you. Is it legal on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it?" Looking around at them all, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he did, and his hand was made healthy. They were furious and began talking with each other about what to do to Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The central question that is wrestled with in our text today is, what is the Sabbath for? What do we do to practice Sabbath? What do we refrain from? What is the intention? And we have to be able to wrestle with that to know what cultivating a Sabbath practice looks like, to cultivate rhythms that shape our lives that are in line with this ultimate intention. Because it seems that while the Pharisees know all the right rules to keep, they know a whole lot about Sabbath, what to do and what not to do. They are being challenged to put on a very different posture. And Jesus is rather confrontational about it. He's not shy. He asks the man to stand up in front of everybody and heals him, knowing full well what their motivation was. And in so doing, he reveals their motivation behind the inquiry. They're more concerned with piety than with hunger. They are more concerned with earnestness than actual healing. They care more about catching Jesus than the life of the person who embodies the Imago Dei, who is sitting right in front of them. Like dancing, Sabbath is more about the posture and the frame than it is about the actual steps. If you have a good frame, you'll find your way through. Sabbath is willfully following the Spirit as it leads. That rule following often for us that we bring into Sabbath translates into assembly line thinking. That if we just follow all the right steps perfectly, then we will be complete. Which may make for a really beautiful, flawlessly executed dance or Sabbath, but not a terribly fun one. Assembly lines might be a helpful way to approach a product. It's a terrible way to approach our humanity. We are drenched in this type of thinking. Follow the rules, get the results. There is a single right order. Efficiency and achievement, calculating all the details to make sure that there is no mistakes, predicting everything that could possibly go wrong and eliminating any failure, asserting control. There's no stepping out of line. This assembly line thinking leads us to working so that we can rest and resting so that we can work even harder. I get caught in that a lot. Maybe you do too. Working so we can rest and resting so we can work even harder. Like so many of us who believe that we have to earn love, we take this posture of having to earn our Sabbath. We make our belovedness and enoughness conditional to our execution. But Sabbath fundamentally reframes the question. Beloved and enoughness as an invitation to accept and receive that life more abundantly offered through the great mystery and the beauty of the Trinity. God longs to be with you. Do you know that? There's no greater news that I know than that. God longs to be with you. And you can choose to accept that invitation or not. But connection with God often means embracing that liminal space. And that can be really hard when we're conditioned to check boxes. Those things to achieve, this endless pursuit of doing all the right things in the right order all of the time. In Sabbath, we lay that down. We embrace this radical alternative to the assembly line, and we find ourselves held in a posture of reflection, accountability, mercy, and vulnerability. What is the Sabbath for, if not for connection? If not for becoming more deeply human in our connection to the divine? We orient our life from a posture of Sabbath, not around it. from connection and not from the checkboxes of working to rest and resting to work. Sabbath is not something you earn. It is a birthright of the Imago Dei. Sabbath is not something you earn. It is a birthright of the Imago Dei. There are a few ways that I tend to see Sabbath attempted to be executed that are certainly a part of what Sabbath is, but not necessarily what it means to keep the Sabbath holy. Like the Pharisees, sometimes our rules become hard lines instead of boundaries that provide scaffolding. We embrace Sabbath sometimes, but only as self-care. Sometimes Sabbath is a nap or a bubble bath or a quiet moment. Those are all good things, and some of us need a little more of those, right? But self-care is not always the glamorous, Instagram-worthy lifestyle that we see it marketed to us as. Self-care on the Sabbath can be quite boring. I invite you to embrace boring self-care. Here's an example that may or may not be from my real life. Self-care on the Sabbath can be choosing to keep your dentist appointment instead of canceling it because you're just trying to squeeze that one more meeting in. Boring self-care. And it may be exercise, but not the pretty kind. Sabbath is a time to set aside to remind ourselves that we are not machines and neither are other people. Sabbath and self-care are not a permission slip to be selfish, to consume, to brag. It's about breaking up with the feeling that there's something that we must do in order to feel accomplished, complete, or worthy, and instead choosing to bask in your belovedness. Another thing we do when we think of Sabbath is we think of it as Sunday only, or that one whole weekday is the only way to practice Sabbath. Worship and adoration is absolutely a part of Sabbath, but a house is not a home. And Sabbath is for finding our home in the center of God's love, receiving the nourishment of God's love in ways that shift how we live and move and have our being in God's world. Sabbath is for carving out spaces of intentionality for connection, contemplation, and creativity. Finally, assembly line thinking leaves us practicing Sabbath as individuals only and not in community. Yes, rest. Yes, embrace. Yes, yield. But don't mistake those practices as something for you and you alone. Sabbath does not happen in a vacuum. What is Sabbath for, if not for recognizing the Imago Dei in others? When we leave this part out, we miss the point like the Pharisees do. And I don't say that from a posture of condemnation. I say it from a desire to see us get set free, because the Sabbath is about getting free. There's immense freedom in being able to name things so we can heal for them. Sabbath is about liberation of the oppressed. Like actual people who experiencing actual oppression, not people who feel oppressed because they don't like being told what to do and they don't want to wear a mask. That's not what I'm talking about. Sabbath is about care for the whole of you, the whole of the community. When the Pharisees push back, Jesus replies, "I am Lord of the Sabbath." And we know what type of work the Lord of the Sabbath is in. Jesus is in the business of reorienting all things towards shalom, towards justice, towards restoration. In this upside down, inside out way, all are set free for freedom's sake. All is surrendered for this reordering. What is the Sabbath for, if not for healing? And you can't heal what you won't name. Sabbath is about the practice of getting free, binding and loosing the powers and principalities that keep us wrapped around warped ideologies that have nothing to do with the agenda of Christ. We are invited into covenant relationship with a Trinitarian dance partner. Active participation is more than quiet contemplation. Getting free and practicing Sabbath is about more than how you feel. It is life, and life more abundantly. For those who have been relegated to the margins, like when we had fires this year that were really bad, did you see the photos of harvesters who were still sent out into the field to pick our produce while fires raged all around them? That's what I'm talking about. That's what Christ is talking about in this passage. Sometimes we practice a Christianity that looks a lot more like Rome or the Pharisees than like Jesus. But as Barbara Brown Taylor writes, Jesus wasn't crucified by secularism. He was crucified by law and order, allied with religion. Jesus called people out of old rhythms into new life, called them out and towards something different, a new imagination. There's a parable that talks about how there's a hill that has a town at the top. And the only way to get to the top of that town is to take these harrowing turns up the road of this mountain to get to the town. And one day a visitor comes to the town, and he takes all the curves all the way up, and he gets to the top. And he learns at the top in this hill that there are all kinds of ways that churches have addressed the needs of the community. Yes, but the primary need is that they have accidents all the time, people trying to travel on this road. And so the churches address the needs in not a bad way, but they address the needs by purchasing ambulances to make sure that they could care for people after car wrecks to get them to the hospital. And the man says, you know, that's beautiful. Have you ever thought about making the road different? Like maybe a tunnel to go through, or maybe there's another way that people could travel to your town. Then instantly the Christians go, no, the mayor would never go for it. No, that won't happen. And he said, well, couldn't you just ask? Like, what if we asked for that? And they were appalled. That was too political. And he left the town scratching his head, frustrated, saying, was it really more holy to pick people up after they had been in the car wreck than it was to prevent the wreck in the first place? Here's why we're talking about this when we talk about Sabbath. Part of my deepest grief for the church in America is this assembly line thinking. And the way that it leads us to treat people like products, like services that they provide. And practicing Sabbath is in direct resistance to consumerism. Just like there's the central question, there are these central messages that I can't help but see in this passage. And it's people come first. Stop and see. Let yourself be confronted and act to address the suffering. The truth is sometimes, like the townspeople, we're not ready. We're not ready to be called out and towards something new. We're not ready to be wooed by the Spirit in this way. It feels scary to have our narratives challenged. I'm sure the Pharisees reacted to Jesus in anger and from a place of fear, because if they weren't practicing the Sabbath correctly, who even were they? If they weren't practicing religion correctly, who were they? And we often have a hard time holding some of these conversations about racial justice and Christian nationalism because we make these questions about worth, rules, earning love, earning rest. And the Pharisees hear in this passage, you're wrong. But Jesus offers, there is a better way. What the Pharisees react to is shame, not Jesus. And shame is absolutely challenged by the Sabbath. It doesn't mean that correction isn't necessary, but being rooted in an understanding that God's love for you is unconditional makes space for all kinds of new. Shame and consumerism are confronted by the rhythms of Sabbath. Racial injustice is confronted in rhythms of Sabbath. Christian nationalism is confronted in rhythms of Sabbath because they are diametrically opposed. Sabbath makes space. Sabbath cultivates new possibilities. Sabbath is more concerned with becoming than with force. And when we ask these questions from a place of already knowing just how loved we are, we can make space for the Holy Spirit to reshape us. Practicing Sabbath is an ultimate exercise in imagining the on earth as it is in heaven. That on earth as it is in heaven doesn't come by proximity to seats of power. Doesn't come from binding the cross to people who take the Lord's name in vain, but through the tenacious love of Jesus, who loves us too much to let us stay stuck in our isms and would hate for us to miss the richness of the connection in the Spirit because we're aiming for piety instead of relationship. What would happen in this passage if the Pharisees had embraced the call out and moved towards what they were being invited into? What would have shifted? What would have changed? What shifts when we listen to those who are hurting? When you listen, you know. And when you know, you can see. And when you see, you come close and you can't help but act. Really, our call to Sabbath is practices, yes, but it's also a commitment to both action and reflection. Not one without the other, both. Like an infinity loop or a Mobius strip, two sides of the same coin that cannot be divorced from one another. Action and reflection is a radically different posture of cultivating instead of assembly line thinking. Of faithfully tilling the soil, tending to our priorities in season while the Spirit attends to us. And there's a point where this action and reflection kiss. And it's not a point that we talk about in many churches in America. And it's why I'm so excited. That's the Sabbath. That's why I'm so excited for this series. Because sometimes we're so caught up in the worship industrial complex of production and consumerism and individualism and consumption and church as a product and pastors as customer service representatives. Sometimes we're so caught up in quietly reflecting while our siblings of color can't breathe that we end up completely forsaking action in total favor of reflection that takes place in a pew on Sunday only, or the other side. We reduce our faith to good deeds and attendance, missing out on the meaningful connection that the Spirit longs to cultivate in us. We have McDonaldized our connection to the divine. Action and reflection. One without the other misses the point. And this is what Jesus is pushing back against in this passage today. What is the Sabbath if not to heal? What is the Sabbath if not to set the captives free? What is the Sabbath if not for connection? What is the Sabbath if not for justice for those who depend on gleaning? What is the Sabbath if not to experience belovedness? What is the Sabbath if not to honor the Imago Dei in others? What is the Sabbath? It's action and reflection in an infinite loop. And honestly, this pattern of action and reflection is something we see fully embodied in the Mobius spirituality of the Black and Brown Church. We see it in Dr. King, in Dorothy Day, controversial figures who knew that the gift of Sabbath, the gift of shalom, the gift of belovedness is not relegated to some, but is a birthright for all. It's for all of God's children, not in the abstract intellectual agreement sense, but in flesh and blood. And they devoted their whole lives to acting on that. They knew that sometimes Sabbath meant dancing with two left feet. And sometimes it meant praying with our feet, pushing for equity, that both love and Sabbath are verbs. We are wooed into this dance by the Spirit, holy rest as wholeness of our humanity, honoring the Imago Dei. But the very, very, very good news is not just that Jesus wants to be with you, but Jesus wants to be with us. We are invited through the Sabbath to become the beloved community. We are invited into this continual posture of empathy, mutuality, and solidarity. In Marva Don's book, she looks at Sabbath from four lenses: ceasing, resting, embracing, and feasting. And if you don't know where to begin, just pick one thing to try for each of those categories. Ceasing as an individual might look like stopping consumption. One of my pieces of my rule of life is there's no internet shopping on Sundays. Ceasing in community looks like breaking the chains of injustice. Resting as an individual might mean restoration of your body or your breath, but communally, it might mean serving, the restoration of God's world. Embracing in an individual space might look like just knowing your limitations. And communally, embracing looks like being aware of needs, helping to meet needs, expressing your needs, and feasting. This is my favorite one. Feasting on the Sabbath is about play. Letting yourself delight. Sometimes we have this thing where we think that if it doesn't hurt a little bit, then we're not doing Sabbath right. We're not doing a spiritual discipline right if it doesn't sting in some way. And there's some that that's true. It's okay to let yourself delight. And in community, this looks like this feasting, this delighting means playing together, but it also means setting a table like the great banquet. The man who ran out and brought in all of those who were hungry to feast. Ultimately, Sabbath moves us from reactivity to responsiveness. Instead of reacting to the world around us, instead of working until we get sick and our bodies stop, and so we have to stop as well, instead of reacting like the Pharisees, we're invited to respond, to participate in giving and receiving life and life more abundantly from the vine, like Pastor Allie read earlier. We are invited to experience the love extended in the perichoretic dance. We are invited to act and reflect hand in hand, knowing that the arc of the universe is long and it bends towards justice. That's a dark Dr. King quote. Learning to Sabbath is a long-term commitment. It takes time to find your rhythm. It takes time to see what's happening in your community. It takes time to learn to dance. I hope you try anyways. I hope you let the Spirit teach you still. I hope you let yourself be challenged. I hope when you're called towards a new way of being that you say yes. I hope you keep practicing with two left feet and let the dance unfold as you build your Sabbath stamina. There are seasons of our lives where we rest just one day a week, and then there's seasons where we rest more.